In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Niche and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ali to our Palau audience and welcome everyone to Niche and Footy, the go-to place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name's Chinidar Arona. And alongside me is the business trip specialist, Sammy Wykes. Sammy, happy Monday, brother.
Happy Monday, my friend, the business trip specialist. Why is that? Why have you brought that up?
Just feels like you go everywhere, leave me to hold the show together.
I feel like you're throwing stones at glass houses, mate. I believe you're going to
be off
the
bench. No, I'll be honest, mate. I'm just reading this sheet of paper.
Nah, here we go. But anyway, malolalay, welcome everyone. Niche and Footy. What a weekend of footy we did have. Blockbuster in the NRL finals. I don't think I've ever seen a game like that Raiders-Broncos one, which we will dive into. We've also had a big week of rugby union in the Pacific Nations Cup, as well as the Rugby Championships and the Women's Rugby World Cup. But probably the biggest game of the whole weekend, grand final for the St. Clair Comets against his brother with the Windsor Wolves here in Penrith in Western Sydney. Battle of the West out there. Mate, how was it, my friend?
Yeah, we got the job done. We got
against
the chocolates.
Your
brother. Yeah, and you know, shout out to my beloved club, St. Clair Comets. We are part of the Penrith Junior Rugby League competition, and it was just a nice feeling to lift the trophy and have that moment for our club, a club that I've represented since I was 13 years old. So, yeah, it's a
special day. How's your brother feeling? Because he was playing for the opposition.
Yeah, a bit heartbroken. Mum was... it was hard for her to decide who she was supporting on the day.
Who did she go to first?
Well, she painted her face half red, half green. And then she came and gave me the lolly necklace after. She goes, "You make sure you keep that one because I put peanut slabs in it." So,
Favorite chocolate moment. Oh, awesome, brother.
Great day. And I'm just happy to have my man Monday here today with you, Sammy.
It's good to have you back. Nice and fresh, he reckons. How good.
But today we have a special guest that we'll be having a chat with. And to all our Papua New Guinea listeners, he is one of the rising stars in rugby league. He's one of the top try scorers in the Queensland Cup, and he plays for Townsville Blackhawks. His name is Dudley Dutoy.
Yeah, big Dudley there on the wing. I think he's the highest try scorer in the Q Cup, as you said. And then playing for the Kumuls in the Prime Minister's 13 game. I'm looking forward to seeing what it was like for him to go back to PNG, play in front of the home crowd and get his thoughts and all the emotions that come with that.
Moment of the week.
Yeah, while we're on the Papua New Guinea topic, man, I just seen David Mead's Instagram page, and I was shocked, one, to see how many fans were at the stadium when they were in this helicopter going to the game, and I thought it was an NRL match. I thought it was an international match. I thought the Kumuls were playing, but it was the grand final for the Papua New Guinea Rugby League tournament, and David Mead and Justin Olam, they arrived by chopper. Right in the middle, and then you just see the crowd erupt as they come out and present the game ball.
Tell me they aren't kings without saying that they're the kings of PNG. Hey man, absolute scenes there, T. Absolute scenes. And when you see that, does it give you more of excitement that there could be? What's to come?
100%. Even PNG Hunters, when they play, the Kumuls, when they go there and play, and then we start talking about a NRL Papua New Guinean team. Man, what an exciting time. A few more years and we might have to get over there for their first round one game. What do you reckon, Sammy?
We might. That's a guarantee. We'll be on that trip for sure. But before we get there, must say a big congratulations to the Lay Tigers, who won the men's competition 36-16 over the Murrooks, with Shalom Bayer awarded player of the match.
Yes, and in the women's, it was the Central Dabaris who won 16-8 over the Goroka Lahanis.
Hey guys, David Mead here, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Speaking of the man himself, David Mead, there he is. But let's go into this final series, T.
Week one,
there it is.
NRL finals have started. What do we say on Friday?
I thought your analysis was spot on with how all these games we're going to unfold.
Yeah.
And I know we'll go through all four of them just now, but that Raiders Broncos for me, I've never seen anything like that. Rugby league, rugby union, that's probably one of the best games I've ever seen.
We will get to that shortly, but the first one, Storm versus the Bulldogs. Now, last week we spoke about this game and spoke about the spine, you know, the direction.
The spine was a big talking point here.
I think, the way that Harry Grant directed the team, Tyron Wishart when he came on, and Jonah Pezet when he, you know, just this kicking game as well, that nice 40-20. But I thought, you know, I mentioned the combination or that battle between Ali Katoa and Viliami Kikau. Viliami going down with that fractured, it was a bruised face.
Elbow to that face.
So early injury, it was a scary one for the Bulldogs, but Ali Katoa getting over for that first try.
31 from the Dogs line when tackled. Grant now passes left. Pezet holds it up, pops it on Munster. Gives it on to Chan. Chan through half a hole before the defence comes across, and Tracy makes an important tackle 10 metres out. Grant passes right through Munster, through Pezet to the right edge, and Ali Katoa, as he's done all season, scores on the right edge for the Storm.
A big blow in this game though. Captain Stephen Crichton, yeah, going down with an ankle injury, and he's looking like about 2 to 4 weeks on the sidelines. That's going to be a huge loss for the Bulldogs. Yes, the Storm got the job done. They won this one 26-18. But what were your thoughts on this one, Sammy?
I think what we spoke about on Friday around who's going to be the people around the board that make the best decisions, which is the spine for both sides. And then we said either side of the spine, left or right, who are the big players that were going to have the most influence. As soon as Stephen Crichton went down, and then you lose Viliami Kikau for a little bit, I know he came back on, it just felt like their halves were just missing those people to be able to get to. I think they blew a try as well when they went down the left. Probably Burden could have given it. And just some of their decision-making in some of those moments really probably cost them. But I still would say that the Bulldogs had a lot of grit, a lot of fight in that game. But I just thought, yeah, the spine and the game drivers just did a really good job there with Melbourne.
Yeah, nice. And your man Jethro, I thought he stood up to the challenge as well.
Yeah, some nice carries.
Some good catches in the air as well. One of the elimination games in New Zealand, the Warriors versus the Panthers. This one would be a tough weekend for all the Warriors fans, because the Panthers just getting the job done in Auckland, 24-8 that they won. Isaiah Papali'i scoring the first try for the Panthers.
Play for Panthers, 20 outs in the field. Cleary on the end of it now. Shapes the kick, offloads instead. Back to Talangi. They're 12 away now. And now McLean takes on in there Vinunga and also Boyd. 10 out, left-hand side of the post. Last play, Penrith. Schneider to Cleary. On here to Papali'i. Strolls through the gap. Received a beautiful ball from Cleary and scores under the posts. Isaiah Papali'i with the first try of the game for Penrith. And it's 4-2, Panthers kick to come.
Look, I thought the Warriors were strong in this game, but the difference was, and I mentioned it on Friday, when you've got players like Nathan Cleary and Isaiah Yeo, just their experience in big games, big moments, Nathan Cleary just kicked them to the victory, you know what I mean? It's the long kicking game, kicking them out of trouble, even the good ball kicks, the attacking kicks, and then Panthers capitalizing on them. But I think one of the shining lights for the Warriors this season is their young rookie, Leka Halasima. What a special talent he is. I wouldn't be surprised if he does get Rookie of the Year for the NRL. And there was a cool moment that I enjoyed, playing in the middle. And you look at these two boys, they've just won together the last four championships in the NRL. now playing for different teams, competing against one another. No brothers on the field. It's so I'm talking about James Fisher-Harris and Moses Leota just headbutt each other, grab each other by the jersey. You could just see that fierce look in their eyes saying, all right,
they look like they're ready to go to toe-to-toe.
Yep.
Who would come out on top in that one?
Ooh, Moses looked pretty scary there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the biceps of James Fisher-Harris, I don't know what biceps have to do with throwing punches, but geez, they look big.
I'd be scared of both of them. Panthers move on to the next one. Now, the Aroma Cup, Sharks versus the Roosters. I did say that I would
say Aroma Cup every week, man. Honestly, yeah, just the grand final in the week. Now, I swear, I don't know how many times we play for this cup.
Well, Sharks won it. They won the last one, 20-10, and they did play at Shark Park. I did say that I was going to sit on the fence on this one. I was happy with either team, whichever team went through. But what I loved about this game was the battle of the wingers. Ronaldo Mulitalo versus Mark Nawanganitewase. Ronaldo getting two tries, Mark scoring a special one himself, but also he just had some huge moments in this game. And, you know, there's all this talk about him representing Australia and the Kangaroos. I think he deserves, you know, all the acknowledgement and recognition that he is getting. It's just lovely to have him in the game of rugby league. But Ronaldo Mulitalo, two tries for the Sharkies. Here's the first one.
He gets an offload. Brayley backing up close to the line. And now Sifu Talakai slides under, but they keep him out. I don't know how the Roosters stop Talakai scoring there under the sticks. It's the last tackle. Trindle at first receiver. They were quick out of the line, so he might have numbers. Basketball pass over the top. Mulitalo. Ronaldo Mulitalo scores the try.
I did say on Friday too when we previewed the Sharkies that the pack, the forward pack, needed to do a good job for guys like Nico Hines and Braden Trindle to be able to capitalise and score points. Now, I thought Adam Fanua-Blake, geez, he had a great game just getting them forward, punching them holes, Toby Rudolph as well, and then you had Siosifa Talakai coming off the bench. But that pack, great job in attack. But then I think the best thing about this game for the Sharkies, Craig Fitzgibbon, the head coach, I know that he would love that they kept the Roosters to only 10 points.
Yeah, well, again, coming into this this game, both of these sides were the form teams, both attack and defence. They've put on some high scores in the 4 weeks leading into it. So, as you've said many times, when it comes to the business end of the season, defence wins games. And then the Sharkies, I think for the first time in a while, they haven't gone out in straight sets. They defended well and they scored some points. And they do move on to the week after.
And then the blockbuster. The final game.
Man, what a game. What a game.
This was a funny one because I was playing my grand final at the same time. But then after all the celebrations, we got the cup. Boys were on their phones watching the game. I'm like, that game kicked off ages ago. Yeah. And when I realized that they went into extra time, and then they went into over extra time where they went past the 90-minute mark, and then it wasn't going to end until a team scored the point because it being an elimination match. That's when I knew this must have been a special game. And then when I watched it back, geez, there were some huge, huge moments for both teams. Let's start. What caught your eye?
Well, what caught my eye is the fact that leading into this game, I thought Reece Walsh, the way he was in form, was going to be a difference, and he was. And then I think of the players that have had a good run in, like Jarrod Hayne, Ben Barber, those type of players, that one player is able to spark a whole team. He was able to do that. So I was really impressed with him. And then the fact that just the controversy around the penalties, like honestly, I don't know how Ricky Stewart looks emotional on the sideline as is, but to celebrate twice
and
not get the result, yep, that you think you've won, like they're jumping up and down, and not get the win after all of that, man, this is where his coaching ability is really going to shine on how he gets his team up from the canvas in his next 24 to 48 hours leading into this game. But wow.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. They do have a bit of work to do just to recover from, I'd even say, not only the physical fatigue, but the mental fatigue.
Emotional.
You know, that roller coaster ride of up, down, and then crashing down at the end. But you mentioned Reece Walsh, and we also mentioned him on Friday. But with less than 15 minutes to go, he just switched gears and turned that whole game around, starting with a special try, just breaking the Raiders' defense. He then has a try assist where he goes down, creates a 3v2, does the cutout, kicks a 40-20. On the last play, he goes for the field goal, and then the Raiders player hits the legs. He gets the penalty in front, evens the game. Now, in both the five-minute overtime halves, no one can convert into points. And then that last 93rd minute where the Raiders put the kick up, they score a try. Everyone's celebrating. Oh. The Raiders fans are celebrating. Ricky Stewart's celebrating. And then the bunker comes in, calls the knock on, and then Broncos go the other end, and then Ben Hunt kicks the winning field goal.
And now it is last play, in fact. Can they go field goal here? Smoothie finds Hunt, winds it up, 35 out on its way, and he has got it! Shaves off the right hand, the Broncos goes in! The Broncos have stolen it! Disallowed to Al Bodie, tried the other end, and Ben Hunt, the veteran, ices it with a field goal, 29-28. It's the Broncos. Well, they say up the milk, but the cream rises to the top, and Ben Hunt is the qualifying final hero here.
Oh, what a moment. What absolute heartbreak for the Raiders fans.
He also gets sent off for 10.
He does.
And Hudson Young gets sent off. What were your thoughts on that moment there where the ref made the decision to send them both off?
Oh, man, again, hate to be a ref, to be put in that position. You know, it's... I thought it was definitely like he is a headbutt. He went towards him under his chin. Yeah, I think Ricky's got every right to probably say that you can't get sent off for a headbutt. Is that what we're going to? And you've set the precedent moving forward. But it just added to the drama of the game and the spectacle. And as I said, like Union or League, that's probably one of the best games I've ever seen.
And then speaking about Reece Walsh's penalty, yes, he got sin bin 10 minutes in the bin. But then you'd think the public would have thought if it does go to the judiciary and then it's looked at as a headbutt, is there a suspension for the next game? He gets off with a $3,000 fine.
$3,000. And he's got that in his ashtray. There it is.
I'd like to know maybe the comments around what was the judiciary's thoughts on, striking. You got done for striking, it was.
For the part of me, it's like, yeah, you probably should have been. But then at the same time, it's like, but you need those guys in the game because that's what creates that that drama, those type of characters. Now he's the villain. Yeah, I'm going to sit on the fence on that one.
I just remember on Friday too, we just couldn't find a winner. You know, we thought who would win, Raiders, Broncos, Raiders with the youth and the experience, Broncos with no pressure. You've got guys like Payne Huss and Reece Walsh. Our thoughts were correct.
If that's week one, man, more to come in the next couple of weeks. Can't wait.
Well, a huge weekend this round in the week two of the NRL finals. We have the Raiders on only a 6-day turnaround. They will be playing the Sharks in Canberra, a massive game. Again, elimination, loser out, winner goes through. And in the other game on Sunday in Sydney will be the Bulldogs taking on the Panthers. Mate, watch that stadium. It will be a sellout. I tell you now, it will be packed. And hear our thoughts on those games this Friday on Nijan Footy. And remember, you can air every NRL finals game live on ABC Radio Australia. Well, that's us for the league. Until we get to Shelley, actually. Rugby Union, what do you got for us, Sammy?
Great work, T. Unreal, man. Loving the final series so far. But yeah, let's get over to the Pacific Nations Cup semi-finals, which happened this morning, actually. And we'll start with Fiji. They put on a clinic, 63 points to 10 against Canada. 9 tries to 1. Ravovo, 3 tries. So he got a hat-trick. And Kemal Valentini, he scored 18 points. And just the way that the Fijians played, I think it was expected. They were always going to, I think, run right over there against a side like Canada. They just couldn't match their speed, and they will move into the grand final and join Japan, who beat Tonga 62 points to 24. I thought Tonga with the 14.5 start was going to be enough, and it was looking like that way because at halftime it was only 21 points to 19 to Japan, and it just got to probably at the 65th minute mark where there was 2 yellow cards to Tonga, and I just the legs ran out for Tonga. Like, it ended up just the speed of the game from the Japanese was just too great for the Tongans.
Why the yellow cards? How do they come through? Why do Union give away yellow cards so often compared to NRL sending players to the bench? I know we had that moment, I think it might have been last year, where they just kept sending players to the bench. But it just seems like every union game, there's either a yellow card or a red card.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. I think just with I reckon we're a lot harsher with our tackle height laws in rugby, and probably because our game's played at a low height as well, it's going to happen more often than not. And I just with the Tongans, I just reckon, especially with our Pacific Island teams, as soon as that fatigue comes in,
the technique struggles a bit,
falls away, giving dumb
attention to detail,
all that fatigue, type of stuff. Yeah. And that's what happened. So tackling off the ball was one of the reasons why. And I just think, you know, once it got to that level of when fatigue kicked in, especially at altitude, like playing at altitude, less oxygen, it's going to hurt the players a little bit more.
Does that actually make a difference?
It makes a massive difference if you're not exposed to it enough, because outside temperature, outside, just here at sea level, 21% oxygen. That's what we breathe in.
So they played in America, this one?
Denver, Colorado.
Yep.
If you're taking away anywhere between 14 to about 17% oxygen, like, it makes a big difference, because your body has to now adapt to different levels, which create more red blood cells.
You were really good at science.
Why are you hinting that? Is that something for Gimme Three?
Gimme Three, yeah.
No, don't put that in there.
Why?
It's not a school Gimme Three. It's about footy or not. But the fatigue kicked in, and Tonga just didn't have enough in the tank to be able to like keep it competitive, and that way it ended up being 62-24. So now it will be Fiji playing against Japan in the grand final. Moving on to the other game as well. This was a crucial game for Samoa. They came up against USA because this was a World Cup qualifier. Unfortunately for Samoa, they lost 29 points to 13. USA now qualify for the Rugby World Cup, and Samoa, they now have to go down the South American route and then play against Chile to try and qualify for the Rugby World Cup. Let's get to the Rugby Championships now. This is probably the tightest I've ever seen this competition. Every single team is on 2 wins and 2 losses. And the Wallabies are actually sitting at the top after
a loss.
After that loss, because the All Blacks copped a hiding against South Africa in Wellington, 43 points to 10. It's unheard of. I've never seen the All Blacks crumble under pressure the way that they did in that second half of that game. Never in my whole life.
Do you reckon it was the game that they played in Auckland, South Africa, going, all right, we need to do something about it? And whatever they've done during that week, they've just gone down to Wellington and...
Apparently they haven't won a test match in 10 years in Wellington, All Blacks.
Oh, the All Blacks.
Yeah, so it's...
They're still called the Cake Tin?
Still called the Cake Tin. Still called the Cake Tin, and I think there's cause to now to never play test matches there in Wellington ever again for the All Blacks. But with the Wallabies, this is the...
It must be the... What is the altitude?
There's no altitude. You're at sea level there.
Oh, sea level. Just what you explained before.
Yeah, I know.
You know how it's a bit lower. Wellington's a bit lower than New Zealand.
It's easier for South Africa than they had more gas in the tank. But
sorry,
anyway,
I'll let you continue.
Now we'll get to the Wallabies game. Second week in a row where the Wallabies have trailed by a fair margin for most of the game, and they've had to fight their way back and score some amazing tries to get themselves within winning that game. But last weekend, they just fell short.
I know we've spoke about Mark Nawanginitawase a lot in rugby league, but Joseph Suoliti, how's he going over there?
I think he's finally looking like a genuine rugby union player. And you can just tell by the way he's moving. He's not, like, doesn't look lost. So his work off the ball, he's understanding where he positions himself to have an impact in the game. Because I think those first few games at 13, he was getting caught between wanting to be involved, but then always finding himself either cleaning out or someone skip passing him. And so he was like, oh, I want to be involved, but I don't know how. Now he's understanding, like, he's watching, he's moving, and he's going, oh, man, if I stand in this position here, if I don't clean out that ruck there, I'm going to be the first receiver to get the ball. And he scored a try, scored 2 tries the week before. And I just feel like, yep, 13, he's finding a home there. And I believe that 2027 World Cup, we could see him, Jordi Pitaia, and Mark Nawanganitawase in the back line. Thoughts?
Did you just say Mark in the back line?
I did, for 2027. I did.
We'll see.
We will see.
Well, it will be Mark World Cup next year into rugby league.
That could be
World Cup. For
I think
rugby
that could
union.
Be the That'd play be there. Cool. I think that could be the play. At the Wallabies, as I said, they were down 28-7 with just 15 minutes to go. Argentina receive a yellow card, and then the Wallabies scored 3 tries, 2 to Fiji and Filippo Dangunu, to bring the scoreline back to 28-26. But the miracle comeback fell short, and it means that with that losing bonus point, they still stay on top of the ladder. They have a week off, and then they'll go into the Bledisloe Cup series. So a lot to like about the Wallabies, a lot to like about rugby, a lot to like about rugby league, and we're going to cover more of rugby union when we get to Shelley Long.
Hey, my name's Lydia Kavar, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Yes, joining us every Monday is our PNG Orchids and NRLW star, Shelley Long. Shelley, happy Monday.
Oh, thanks, guys. It feels like a great Monday. I finished off placement last week, and I'm finally back into my usual schedule. So it's feeling really good to be back on.
We just had the last round of the NRLW. Let's dive straight into it. The top six are locked in. What games from the final round did you want to chat about?
I really wanted to dive into the Titans and Raiders game. That one was one of a nail biter for some teams in particular, like the Parramatta Eels. That game meant Titans needed to win in order to enter in the top six. And for Parramatta Eels, they definitely would have been on the edge of their seats during that game. It ended up in Golden Point as well. So the final score was 17-16. Lauren Brown ended up slotting a field goal to seal the deal and allowed the Titans to now fall into that top six. But for me, it was Samaima Taufa again, a standout performer for the Canberra Raiders. She's been an exceptional player for them, definitely a leader within that team. And I think in that last game, she pretty much popped majority of the stats, even though they didn't get the biscuits at the end of the day. She definitely led that game by that mentality of leave everything out on the field.
Yeah, she's a great player, and I know their season's, they lost to the Titans. But when you look at the Titans, I know they had some interruptions at the start of the year, missing a few big players, Shannon Mottor being one of them. Yeah, how do you think they've gone and just scratched into the top six? How do you think they've gone this year?
Yeah, I think they haven't gone as well as I have been hoping. But again, like you said, T, they have lost some key players for them. It is great to see Shannon Mottor will be having her baby soon. And I think she's still in and around the team. But for them, just finding that consistency has been a real struggle for them throughout the season, going and winning a few games here and then losing a few there has really impacted their ability to, you know, be a top performer in the competition like they would hope. But I think definitely winning that that game on the weekend, you know, that's all you need to do. And finals footy is a different flavour of footy, as we all know. So anything can happen over the next couple of weeks.
What was the second game that that impressed you?
The second game that really impressed me was the Knights versus Dragons. The Knights ended up winning 30-22, but for me, it was the Dragons' ability to hold the Knights out for such a long period of time. And unfortunately, towards the back end of the game, the Knights were able to walk away with the win. But the Dragons did really well and matched the Knights' energy and efforts in that first chunk of the game. And for me, it was Mercedes Taulele Siala, who was outstanding for the Newcastle Knights.
I know in the NRL, we've just seen Stephen Crichton at the Bulldogs go down with a big injury leading into these finals. Were there any injuries across the NRLW this weekend?
Yes, there was. And unfortunately, it's one of our key players that we see in Australia. It was Taryn Aiken. She's actually ruptured her ACL. So she will be out for a long stint on the sideline. That's very unfortunate news for the Sydney Roosters, with Aaliyah Nasio also being given a 1 to 2 week ban with a shoulder charge. So for the Roosters, they get the week off, but they will really need to come and adjust here ahead of the finals footy.
Speaking of the Roosters, finals, upcoming finals this weekend, week one, we've just come off a epic round one or week one of NRL finals. What does the ladder in like the ladder order look like in the NRLW, and what do the finals look like?
Yes, with the ladder, the Broncos and the Roosters, Roosters placing first, taking out minor premiers, and the Broncos placing second will now get a rest week. This is the first time that it will happen in the NRLW finals schedule. The Knights placed third and they will verse Titans who placed sixth, whilst the Cowboys placed fourth and they will verse the Sharks who placed fifth. So the Knights and Titans will play this Saturday in Newcastle at 2:30, whilst the Cowboys and Sharks will play in Townsville at 4:15 this Saturday. So a great day to watch footy if you can either turn up to those games. That would be awesome, or you can watch it on TV.
Here's one for you, serious one. Roosters and Broncos. Why is there such a big gap now?
Yeah, I think it's a tough one. I think when you've been, you know, succeeding so well in a competition, you find what works for you and you're able to just make little adjustments that make you better and better and better. And for a lot of the teams in the competition, they've only entered just recently. Like, for instance, the Roosters, they were a team that were actually finishing last on the ladder at the very beginning of NRLW birthing. They weren't very successful, and it's not until recently that they've had that really big success there. I think that definitely comes down to the players that you're able to buy, the culture that you're able to have in a team, and the buy-in as well. And I think those clubs do it really well. I think it's just a matter of time now for those teams that have been here for 3 or 4 years to find out what works for them and just really reiterate that throughout the next couple of years.
Two big games coming up, Knights versus the Titans, Cowboys versus the Sharks. Give us your picks.
Oh, I'm going to have to say Knights and Cowboys.
Knights to beat Knights the Titans, Cowboys to beat Town and Sharks. All right.
Yep. Big ones. I have to remember those for Friday for my tipping comp, actually.
That's so. It. So the winner of the Cowboys versus Sharks game will end up playing the Roosters, I believe, and the winner from the Knights versus Titans games will then play the Broncos the following week. So there's a lot in this finals. It is a do or die. There is no second chances for these teams, so they'll be needing to give it their all this weekend.
Oh, Sharks versus Roosters, another out on the cup. So that's it for Rugby League.
Give it a rest, mate. Let's shift over to Rugby Union. The Rugby Union World Cup is down to the semi-finals now. It's been an amazing World Cup so far. What have you got for us here?
Yeah, it's been a great World Cup campaign so far, and semi-finals are just around the corner. But for the Wallaroos, they will miss out on the semi-finals after they fell short to the Canada Maple Leafs in the quarterfinals. They lost 46-5, and it was a very tough game. But again, it's hard when you're coming up against such a strong competition and such strong competitors in the Canada Maple Leafs. They're ranked second in the world. And for our Australian girls, they just fell short. Nothing from their heart, though. They put everything out on the field that they could. They talked a lot about that actually leading into that game, that, you know, it was a do or die game. They needed to leave everything that they could out on the field and not think after the game, if, but, what if, and those sorts of questions. And I think they did that.
And who are the matchups for this semi-finals before we get to the big dance?
Yeah, so the matchup in the semi-finals is New Zealand versus Canada. That will be a great game to watch. And then France will come up against England. So, again, another really strong competition happening in that semi-finals. But before we finish off, I did want to touch on Sioka Pesi-Palu was a great Wallaroos player for me on the weekend. You know, she definitely led from the front, and she spoke really well at the end of that game, and she gave a lot of credit to the girls, which I think we all should do. They've put on a remarkable campaign. You know, it was a very tough pathway to get into this World Cup, particularly for the Wallaroos, and they've definitely showed such improvements as they've being a part of the World Cup. But for them, a lot of those women have 9-to-5 jobs, are young mothers, and I do think that we need to probably invest a little bit more into that that program, not only just the program of the Wallaroos, but also building those pathways up to set the Wallaroos up for a lot more success in the future, especially with the World Cup coming to Australia in 2029.
Well,
awesome work, Shelley, and she's a great leader. Sio Kapesi Palu. And on that note, we will tune in again next Monday. Appreciate your time, and we'll talk then.
Thanks, guys.
This is Nijan Footy.
Well, Sammy, as I mentioned or mentioned a couple of weeks ago now, a few weeks ago, you were over in PNG, and we've got a lot of
PNG fans over there, bro.
A lot of Nijan Footy listeners, and we are providing for our PNG audience because we have on our show today a rising star, and he is the top try scorer in the Queensland Cup, and he represents the Townsville Blackhawks. He also played in the Papua New Guinea Prime Minister's 13s team last year, and Jason Demetrio, the head coach for the Kumuls, has big raps on this man. So I want to welcome on Nijan Footy, Dudley Dotoi. Dudley, welcome to Nijan Footy, brother.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Yeah.
Oh, let's start with where you grew up. You know, what was your upbringing like?
I kind of grew up half and half. So younger primary school, grew up in Mariba, and it was like back and forth with, to Cairns. And then I'm going to say like from grade 5 up to grade 10, my family moved to Bowen, which is like 2 hours south of Townsville. And then my last 2 years, 11 and 12, moved to Kirwan for schooling. So yeah, I went to Townsville.
And what was the reason for moving around a fair bit?
I don't know. My family just, I don't know, must have liked to travel.
And where were you born? And where is your both your parents from?
So I was born in Cairns. My mom had me in Cairns. My father, his dad, they're Dows, but the Dotoi side of my family comes from my mum's father. So I've got my mum's last name. All my other brothers, they have my dad's last name, which is like Dow, D-A-U. I don't know what the reason for that is. I just happen to be the only one that carries my mum's last name. And yeah, that got a lucky chance to connect with that side when I went over to PNG there.
Man, you seem like a pretty easygoing person, you know. Yeah, I don't know why we left. We just go. I don't know what my last name is in terms of why. Yeah. You just go with it. I love that about your nature. Well, when you talk about the PNG side, like what, I know you went over there for the PM's 13, I believe, but what was your connection to your PNG side before heading over there?
Growing up with my family, even with cruising with my regular parents, I was kind of a bit more closer to my grandparents. So being asked to go over to PNG and playing for my grandfather's home team was kind of like, it was not more of doing it for myself. It was more of, you know, playing for my grandparents.
Where did rugby league start with you? You know, before the traveling, was rugby league always part of the journey?
I've asked my mum this question and I always get a different answer, but I think it's because when I was younger, I was a little bit of a crybaby. She kind of put me in footy to toughen me up. I've just been in there ever since I can remember.
Oh, so how was your experience then with rugby league, you know, going into contact straight away and then being amongst that and hopefully not being a crybaby anymore in your mum's eyes?
It was good. It was good. I think it toughened me up, I hope.
And then what was it like when you represented the PNG Prime Minister 13's team, being in camp with all those boys and, you know, going over to Papua New Guinea together as a team?
Yeah, no, it was a great experience. All the boys are like nicest bunch of people like you'll ever meet. They're very welcoming. They thought I'd speak pidgin, and I was like, oh, I only know how to understand a bit. It's a bit shaky. But they were like, oh yeah, all good, sweet. We're gonna talk like this for you.
Was that the first time you went to PNG?
Yeah, that would have been. Yeah, that was the first time.
Wow, what were your thoughts when you first got there? And was it everything that you expected?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't anything like I was expecting. I thought it was gonna be, I'm gonna say smaller. I guess it was gonna be smaller, but no, it's big. Hey.
That was the first thought that I had when I went there as well. I thought it'd be like all the other Pacific Islands, like very small. It would take only a certain amount of time, maybe 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there to get somewhere. But, man, Port Moresby traffic is real, and, yeah, it is massive over there. So that surprised me as well. But how did you find out that you were in the team?
So, our season ended. We just missed top 8, and I was just at work. And I think Jason was trying to get in contact with me, and my phone was broken. I broke my phone. at work here, it fell out of the buggy and I didn't have no phone for a couple of days. And I had like all of Townsville trying to get in contact with me. Jason Demetrio is ringing up all of everyone he knows that lives in Townsville, and they're like, that know me. They were all trying to get in contact with me too. I had people ringing up, yeah, my mom, my dad, everybody in my family was trying to ring me up, telling me, oh, this lad's trying to ring you so you can go play for home there. Terry Campisi, my coach, he ended up coming finding me at work, and he was like, oh, this lad's been trying to get in contact with you. Where's your phone? And then I still had it on me. I was showing him, and it was all smashed up.
Did you end up getting that conversation with Jason Demetrio?
I eventually got in contact with him. It was very short. I was kind of in disbelief because I had Terry and everybody else tell me, and I was like, are these guys G'ing me up or something?
That's always the case, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like, nah, I can't be. I thought they were like mistaken for something else.
And it would have been hard because you didn't have a phone to tell anyone, but how did you let the first person know? But who was the first person you let know that you're in the team?
I think I told my partner, my missus, and then I let my mum know. And then I think my mum got in contact with my grandfather, and my grandfather gave me this, like, all these contacts and said, ring these people, you know, when you get over there. They're going to, you know, sort out everything. I had people flying in from Daru just to meet me.
So Daru's where your grandfather's from?
Yeah, Daru and Parham. Yeah, that's that Western province.
I could only imagine, you know, family members coming over, seeing you in camp, and then you having to, you know, meet them for the first time. What was that connection like?
Yeah, it was like, I didn't really know them, but I felt comfortable. I didn't know them, but I felt comfortable, like, you know, like family.
Did they bring you any gifts?
Yeah, heaps of gifts. I'll talk about heaps of gifts. Hey, I brought two bags.
What'd they give you?
I got heaps of billooms and everything. My partner got heaps of dresses.
How good.
It was all good. I went back stashed up.
So I know you're still progressing in your footy career, and you've still got a long way to go, but how did it feel to be connected to your family and your PNG side through rugby league?
Yeah, it was great. It was great meeting all of them, and it was pretty great doing it through rugby league. I guess that's why we kind of all love the game. You get opportunities like that that are given to you sometimes.
And, you know, before I was fortunate enough to go over to PNG and play, and before I went there, you hear about the stories of how passionate the PNG people are about rugby league, and, you know, where the kids are chasing after the bus, and, you know, they look at you as superstars. What was your reaction to that feeling of, you know, the PNG people and how they embrace rugby league so highly?
Yeah, so I knew, before I went over there, I knew, like, they were big fans, but I didn't know, like, they were that much of big fans. Like, there were kids, like, running across the roads in front of the buses, chasing after the buses, and I was like, bro, these lads are fast chasing after the buses. Because they were like, wherever we went to train, they would like wait outside a hotel, and then we'd see them get past them, and like boys were throwing like their old kits, and I was like, oh, I'm so doing this next time I come back.
Yeah,
I was like, I'll bring three bags, pay for extra baggage, and I'll throw all my clothes. I got heaps of academy kit.
I love that. Absolutely.
Get it back to
So it was crazy, man. They were meeting us outside the hotel, and then like we'd pass them and get to the training grounds, and they'd already be over there.
Bro, how does that motivate you when you see that and you experience that for the first time?
Yeah, it definitely motivates you. It hyped me up. I felt like throwing the kitchen sink at someone. No, for real. I was like, I'll go out here and break a leg for this country.
I love that. And that moment, man, you get to represent PNG in the Prime Minister 13 game. What was that like for yourself? Talk to us about the emotions that you had.
Right, it was a great experience. Hey, it's loud. It gets you hyped up. I couldn't calm my nerves down. I felt like crying but laughing at the same time. It was like, it's crazy.
That's awesome.
Are you for a warm up? Do you wear your training tee or do you wear a jersey for warm up?
I wear a jersey. I get straight into it.
You get straight into it. Okay, so
I get straight into it.
Yeah. So that moment that you got to put that jersey on and go out for the warm up, what were the emotions like?
I still couldn't believe I was there. Right? Like I was sitting down in the training room.
What when you were in camp with all the boys, You know, who are some players that you see as, you know, the PNG leaders, and, you know, with the talks of the new PNG NRL team, you know, who are these players that will be the leaders of those teams?
Definitely Judah Rimbu. He was pretty welcoming when I went over there. He's, you know, talked to me, didn't let me, you know, be by myself, included me and everything. Is that Munn? Is it Liam Munn?
Reese.
Liam Munn. Oh, Panthers.
Sorry, wrong man.
Reese, the skipper. He's a good man.
He was good. I got to the airport and I seen all them boys there, and I was like, small shame. But he came over and he was like, you know, you're playing for the team, and I was like, yeah. Just come through. I don't know anyone. And he's like, oh yeah, come through. Yeah, made me chill out with all the boys. He was good as.
Little did they know that they. You're going to be the Q Cup top try scorer of how was that environment? You know, you talked about those leaders, now the coaching staff, Jason Demetriou. I know they were preparing for Pack Champs, but that was the kickoff to that campaign. You know, what was that experience like for someone coming out of Queensland Cup but then going into that elite performance area?
It was good. It was good. I think it was an experience that I really, really needed, you know, coming into this year, confidence-wise. Sometimes I can be a bit cocky, but most times I'm sort of, like, lacking it. And, you know, I just can't get up there. But, yeah, I feel like I really needed that to really push forward this year. Rabbitohs preseason, I think, got me through this year.
Let's talk about that. Rabbitohs, what was that training trial like?
Yeah, no, that was good. It was great, eh? Wayne Bennett, yeah, he's good. He's good. Went there expecting to get flogged and lose weight. That was kind of all I was expecting to do. But I went there, learned defensively in both roles, in center and wing. So it was good. I learned heaps there. Got to mingle with some of the NRL boys there.
Alex Johnson, yeah. Did you get to connect with Alex Johnson?
Yeah, no, I seen him. He was injured at the time, so he wasn't in most of the time. But yeah, when I seen him, he welcomed us there.
Nice.
Like in gym and stuff, it was all good.
What have you learned about being an NRL player? Not just from a centre winger point of view in terms of what you need to work on field, but just maybe the habits that you would have seen, like, you know, even playing against the PM's 13 against Australia, being there in your training trial. What are some of the habits that you've picked up along the way? This is what it actually takes to be an NRL player.
Yeah, got a routine. Having a good routine is definitely one of them. Getting stuff right off field, like all the stuff that comes off field, getting that right before you go on field. I think that plays a big part as well. And I'm gonna say rocking up to training on time. That's always a good one.
What's your saying, T? You don't have to use the expletive bit, but what's your saying? This is my favourite saying.
Yeah, look, when my saying is. When you're early, you're on time. When you're on time, you're late. And when you're late, you just don't give a you don't care.
Remember that saying. It's very true.
It's funny because I coached my son's footy team, and last Thursday there was a car accident and it took me 45 minutes. And I even messaged the group and blah, blah, blah. As I'm walking up, what do you think the kids are saying to me? When you're early, you're on time. When you're on time, you're late. And when you're late, you're what? Yeah. And I'm like,
that's exactly what you want. You want to be held accountable.
And I said, well, I'm the boss. I can be late. I can do that whenever I want.
You take accountability.
But
you
get to represent PNG in the Prime Minister's 13. You know, obviously the Kumuls, they have their campaign coming up this year in the Pack Champs, and then they'll go into the World Cup next year. How much would it mean to you to represent the Kumuls at the international level?
Yeah, no, that'll be huge for me if I could do that. I haven't even thought about it. I just thought they'd keep playing me in PM's 13s or whatever, whenever they have it.
Well, you create your own luck, bro, and the amount of tries that you've scored, I'm sure you're heading on your way there. One thing I forgot to ask, actually, with your Q Cup, have you played against the Hunters in Port Moresby?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's that experience like being PNG, but being... the opposition. Yeah. What's it like there at that stadium?
It was hot. It was a long travel, but it did kind of feel wrong being the opposition. I did feel targeted by all the boys, it was good. It was good. The fans were still cheering me on.
Did they cheer you on when you scored those two tries, though?
Yeah, there was after the game, they were saying, yeah, there was like, you lost, but you still scored a good try. And I was like,
Is it something that you'd love to do, is play for the Hunters or even the new PNG NRL team?
Yeah, that's definitely I'd be considering. Because what are they saying? Are they saying, I heard, I don't know if this is real, but I heard it was like they were saying something about no tax, no tax.
They heard something about no tax.
Yeah, there is some rumors.
I heard something about no tax. That's all I heard.
There is some rumors going around about tax implications, but I know there's a lot of work to be done.
I was going to say, I thought it was going to be the rumor of like, is it still going ahead? But nah, the no tax one, that's more important.
Yeah. Nah, tax man's always getting me, eh?
Oh, absolutely love that. And finally for me, bro, when you where you want to get to, obviously you've got the Pac Champs, PNG coming up, but what NRL team would you like to go to, or where do you want to get to with your career?
I definitely want to be an NRL player. Hopefully maybe play for Queensland and, yeah, PNG.
Yes.
Tick all three off. Nice.
Well, man, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here on Nijin Footy, and we appreciate your time and wish you all the best, not only in for the rest of this season, but also in your journey to the Kumuls and for the years to come. So appreciate you, brother. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Salo Falava. My name is Annalisa Seal, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Give me three answers for this one.
Yes, our game of categories, 3 points up for grabs each week. Might be about footy, might be not. And the loser has to shout the other host and their partner a spa day, a dinner, the works. And I've taken the lead, 31 to 29. Sammy.
31 points to 29. All right, you've got the questions for me, T.
Yep, I've got you. So I'm going with spelling.
Oh.
Just names across. No, they've all played. They all played across.
Why would you do spelling?
They all played.
No, I'm going to do
over the weekend.
You did this one in the elevator too, because you had no time after celebrations.
No, so you'll know them. Just
no.
Go through them. First one is he plays hooker for the Sydney Roosters. His name is Benaiah Ioelu.
Do I have to spell the whole name, or just his?
Or just the first initial?
Why are we doing spelling again? I thought you... This is not it.
Benaiah Ioelu.
Benaiah. Benaiah. Okay, so is it B-I-N-A-I-A?
No, that's wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
Benaiah. Ben. B-E.
Oh, Ben.
It's not Ben.
B. No, because you said Benaiah.
Benaiah.
Yeah, but when you do it in when you do that in terms of,
have you ever heard it seen no, a name that hey, goes hey, B-I-N. Hey, hey.
When it comes to pronunciations Benaiah, in the islands,
Benaiah.
Benaiah. No, but you're going Benaiah.
Ben, like Ben.
Nah, off it already. Ben. Off it. Get the next one with your rubbish questions.
Braden Hamlin Uele.
Oh, I don't even know how to spell Braden.
All right. There's no I or Y.
Was it B-R-A-D-E-N?
B-R-A-D-E-N, yes.
Yeah.
Hamlin Uele.
See, your pronunciation's off, man. That's why.
Hamlin Uele.
Hamlin. Is it Hamlin? Hamlin.
Hamlin.
H-A-M-L-E-N-U-E-L-E.
Nah. Hamlin. H-A-M-L-I-N.
Nah. This is U-E-L-E. Oh, you know, I want to throw my
And then the last one. You should get this one.
Nah.
It's a Tongan word. It's a Tongan name, sorry. Sitili Tuponiua.
Sitili. See?
Sitili.
No,
Sitili.
Sitili.
Tuponiua.
See, your pronunciation's off. That's why I can't spell them.
Sitili Tuponiua.
Sitili. S-I-T-I.
Yes.
L-I.
Yes.
T-U-P-O-U.
Yes. Niua.
N-I-U-A.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And breathe. And
nah,
breathe.
That's it. No.
I knew you would get that one.
Ones,
I knew
bro.
You would get that one. Well, before I go, I just want to give a shout out. I forgot at the start to my St. Clair Comets under 15s Division 2 team who also won the grand final. Much love to my club and my boys. I was the coach and my sons played in that team as well. So great work. And that is it. Tell your footy loving friends about Nijin Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. Thanks for jumping on, Sammy. We'll see you on Friday.
Give me three. It's going to be so hard next week. I'm so off you.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.